One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Our case begins on May 23rd, 2000. We're in the small town in New Philadelphia, Ohio. Brandy Hicks and Liz Reiser are best friends and having a celebratory sleepover at Brandy's house before their high school graduation this upcoming week. They had met at church back in 6th grade when Brandy moved to town and instantly became best friends. That night, they attended Brandy's choir banquet at the Buckeye Career Center. Afterward, they decided to drive to a local video store named Hollywood Video in the Newtown Mall because, just like everyone in the 2000s, they wanted to rent a movie. Brandy and Liz made it to the video store and each picked out some movies. On their way out of the store and back to their car, they were approached by a man in a baseball cap with black curly hair sticking out. The man tells the best friends that he is stranded and asks if they could please give him a ride home. He says it would take roughly 10 minutes to get there and he would give them $20 if they gave him a ride home. Knowing that they were in a small town, the girls must have thought it was safe. They tell him yes, and all three of them get into Brandy's car. As the man directs the girl to his house, 10 minutes pass and he tells them just a little bit longer down the road. Now it's been 15 minutes and Brandy and Liz began to worry. There were fewer and fewer houses the further out of town they drove, and it was past 9 o'clock, so it was dark outside. The girls ask him again, "Hey, how much longer? You know, just let us know when to turn." He keeps telling them, "Oh, just a little bit longer down the road." Growing uneasy, Brandy decides to pull the car over. He tells the man what had seemingly been harmless at first, that if his house was not much farther, he could just get out and walk from this point. Yes, this was the farthest they could take him. She mentions that it was a school night and they had graduation coming up. So they really did need to get home. The man listens to the girls and then calmly says, "Would it make a difference if I had a gun?" The girls are scared and confused. The man then asks if they have any money. They tell him, "No, we don't have any cash. We also don't have cell phones." The man commands them to continue driving down the road, and hesitantly they do what he asks. He leads them to a road that led to a hayfield off a Harmon Hill Road. Once on top of the small hill, after they've been driving quite a ways, he tells Brandy to stop the car, cut the engine, and put her hands on the steering wheel. Once under control, the man directs Brandy to take her shoes off and unlace them. He then tells Liz to use Brandy's shoelaces to tie her best friend's hands to the wheel. He would check them to make sure they were tight, which he did. After Liz ties up Brandy's hands, the man gets out of the car. The man was named Matthew Baker, a 27-year-old father of three. That night, he was under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Matthew opens the passenger side door and tells Liz to get out of the car. He is hesitant to leave Brandy, her best friend, so he drags Liz out of her seat while Brandy is still tied to the steering wheel. He leads her up the hill and eventually together, they disappear into the trees. You have to think Brandy is still sitting in the car, hands tied to the steering wheel, just watching them walk away. I'm sure that was the most distressing, scariest thing you could see. We're going to take a quick break from this episode, and I'd like to discuss my sponsor, NordVPN, the service that keeps me confident and secure every time I go online. If you're not familiar, a VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, and NordVPN is one of the best out there for keeping your browsing activity under wraps. Why do I use NordVPN? First, it gives me total online privacy. When you connect NordVPN servers, all your internet data is encrypted. That means snoopers, advertisers, and even your internet provider can't see your personal info or track your digital footprints. It's like having an invisible cloak for your online life. Second, NordVPN is awesome for unblocking geo-restricted content. Love streaming sports from overseas or catching up on that show that isn't available in your country yet? Just open NordVPN, pick a server from one of their thousands of locations worldwide, and boom, you'll have access to content you couldn't see before. Plus, with speeds faster than ever, you can stream in high definition without those pesky buffering interruptions. Now let's talk simplicity. NordVPN's app is super user-friendly. Whether you're on a phone, laptop, or tablet, you can connect with just one click. And if you ever get stuck, their customer support is there 24/7. Another big highlight, NordVPN has a no-logs policy, which means they never track or store your data. Your digital world stays yours alone. Lastly, if you travel often like me, NordVPN really comes in handy. Whether you're on public Wi-Fi at airports, hotels, or coffee shops, your data is always at risk. But with NordVPN, you can safeguard your connection and keep hackers at bay. No more worrying about whether your coffee shop Wi-Fi is safe. So if you're serious about protecting your privacy, accessing global content, and just having peace of mind online, NordVPN is the way to go. Give it a try, and I promise you'll wonder why you waited so long. Hit the link in the description to learn more and grab a special deal. Stay safe out there. Happy browsing with NordVPN. Now let's get back to the rest of our episode. Once leading her far enough away, Matthew proceeded to slit Liz's throat with a knife. He then stabbed her so many times that he literally broke the knife he was using to stab her. Keep in mind, Brandy doesn't know what just happened to her best friend. He goes over to the driver's side door, opens it up, and yells for her to get out. Brandy yells back, "You're an idiot. Obviously I can't get out here, and you made my friend tie my hands up." It's like, what the heck? This makes Matthew mad, so he grabs a knife and slices the shoelaces to cut them, wringing her hands. Then he pulls Brandy out of the car. Forcefully leads her up the hill, then randomly stops and just begins smoking a cigarette. Not talking to her, they're just both standing there. I think at this point he's thinking about what to do next. For whatever reason, Matthew decides to leave Brandy back down to the car and put her back inside the vehicle, this time in the back seat. He gets into the driver's seat and begins driving away with her. During the drive, very carefully, he looks over at Brandy and tells her, "I just killed your best friend." Brandy doesn't react how he wants her to react, like he wanted a reaction, but she just kind of sits there. So he tells her, "Just kidding, I actually let your friend go. I gave her directions to get back to town," so she's just walking back to town. She's fine. While driving, Matthew notices a cop pulled up behind them at a stoplight, and he begins to panic. He tells Brandy that if she even attempts to open the door, he will shoot her and the cop. But Brandy doesn't do anything. Matthew then drives Brandy near a river bank and gets her out of the car. He begins leading her down some railroad tracks in the dark, but he lied to Brandy as they were walking, telling her that if they kept following the railroad tracks, they would eventually get to the police station. At this point, I think he has an idea of what he wants to do, because he's lying. There is no police station down the road. And why tell her, "Oh, never mind, I didn't kill your friend"? He did kill her. As they're walking, they come across a railroad bridge, a bridge over the river. It's probably a 25-foot drop down. Matthew abruptly stops walking. Right up to the bridge, there was an abandoned train car on the tracks. But Matthew kind of stops and asks Brandy if she has any jewelry on her. She's like, "These rings, like cheap rings that I have." He makes her give him the two rings she was wearing. Then he asks her, "How badly do you want to live?" So he asks her, "How badly do you want to live?" Once again, it's just like, he's trying to see her reaction. He's just playing games. Brandy says simply, "More than anything, I absolutely don't want to die." At this point, Matthew makes Brandy take her own clothes off and then proceeds to sexually assault her inside the abandoned train car. It's horrible. He then makes Brandy get redressed as he smokes another cigarette. Matthew then decides to tell Brandy that he's going to let her go. She can follow the train tracks and find the police department. but they would need to backtrack a little bit to the car so he could have some time to get away before she makes it to the police station. They're at the abandoned train car. He wants to walk back to her car. As they're crossing over the bridge to get to the car, plans change. 3 hours since Matthew had begun terrorizing the girls, Matthew at this point makes Brandy kneel on the edge of the bridge. Pushes her to the edge. There's a railing, obviously, and he says, "Crap, kneel down." So she kneels down. He then takes the shoelace that he had gathered from the car and begins strangling Brandy from behind. He thinks she's dead. But Brandy eventually wakes up because, as we all know, it's a lot harder to strangle someone than it looks in the movies. At this point, he tries to snap her neck 3 times, but he can't figure out how. Because once again, it's a lot harder to snap someone's neck than it looks in the movies. And this just pisses him off even more. At this point, he's getting aggravated. He's trying to kill her. She won't die of choking. Because he chokes her, thinks she's dead, she loses consciousness. Then she wakes back up. He begins beating her up at this point, choking her until she's no longer breathing. Basically doing anything he can to kill her. I will say, this is an awful way to die. And it took a while, so I'm not going to go into detail here, because basically, he's just beating someone to death. And then he tries to lift her body up over the railing, but her feet get stuck. When he tries to push her over, it doesn't drop. Matthew then has to untangle Brandy's feet, hitting them to get them unstuck so that she'll finally drop into the water. Eventually, her body falls headfirst, a 25-foot drop into the shallow river below. Matthew spends some time on the bridge after dumping her body, and eventually, he decides to just get back in the car and drive away. It's the middle of the night when the girls' families realize they are missing, and a search party is sent out. The next day, a man named Jeff Molinix calls authorities, claiming to have information about a murder. He tells police that his brother-in-law had taken him up to a location on Harmon Hill Road, claiming that he had killed 2 girls the night before. He showed Jeff the crime scene, was his dead body, and they even found part of the knife that had broken off. Jeff says that together, he and Matthew threw the broken piece of the knife into the river.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Jeff was alone. He contacted police because he didn't want to spook Matthew while they were up there. Like, while Matthew was showing him what he did, Jeff didn't want to be like, "Dude, you need to go to the police," because he was scared for his own life. At the time of the attack, Matthew was actually on probation for grand theft and forgery. So police arrest him immediately and hold him in jail on a probation violation while they review the case and search for evidence. This is just a few hours after Jeff called police. And it's during the early hours of the investigation that a mind-blowing discovery is brought into the police station. An off-duty cop had been driving down the road that night when something caught his attention. It appeared to be a bloody, injured teenage girl on the side of the road. So yes, Randy had survived the brutal attack and fall into the river. She had played dead in the water, eventually pulled herself out, and made it to the road. Earlier that night, when Matthew had pulled the girls up on top of the hill and gotten out of the car, Liz and Brandy looked at each other and cried. Liz reached over and grabbed Brandy's tied hands on the steering wheel and told her, "I love you." Brandy told Liz, "I love you too, and I'm so sorry that I picked the guy up." Liz told Brandy, No, we both decided to pick him up. It wasn't just your fault." And then Matthew opened Liz's door. And as Matthew pulled Liz out of the car, Brandy says they were both panicking, just saying, I love you, everything's going to be fine." But with Liz, he stabbed her repeatedly, and with Brandy, he just beat her and threw her off the bridge, like he had to have known there was a chance she would live. Because she had been unconscious for a while, so I think he thought he had successfully strangled her. But Brandy sat in the car and waited. While Matthew walked Liz up the hill and spent time killing her, she was horrified when Matthew came walking back down to the car, alone, without Liz. She doesn't know why she yelled back at him when he told her to get out. She doesn't know why she said, "You're an idiot." When he got her out of the car, she was worried about her family and friends. They would ever figure out what happened. At this point, she's thinking, "I'm pretty sure Liz is dead, and I'm pretty sure he's taking me up there to kill me too." And she wonders, will anyone find her bodies? Brandy actually saw something on the ground when they got to the top of the hill, and Matthew grabbed her face and turned it away. At the time, she didn't realize it, but she had been looking at Liz's dead body. And I think, again, that just shows how sadistic he is. I think the only reason he walked Brandy up there and then immediately turned back around was to see how she would react. It was dark outside, and she didn't understand what she was looking at. But when Matthew told her, "I actually let your friend go," she believed him. And that made her start worrying. Wait, Liz is alive and let her go. Why am I still here? Then it hit her. Crap, I'm the main target. He kidnapped both of us because he only wanted me. And at that moment, she was terrified. Brandy had actually started talking about her friends and family while walking down the railroad tracks, hoping that making Matthew see her as a real person, someone with a life, people who loved her, might make him reconsider killing. We've seen this before with survivors. They try to humanize themselves, hoping to appeal to the emotions of their attacker to make them think twice. Brandy felt like the sexual assault inside the train car lasted hours, even though she knew it didn't. But it was horrific. She remembers Matthew violently throwing her clothes back on top of her afterward and saying, "Get dressed." She remembers how small that made her feel. When Brandy got dressed, she just stayed on the ground, because she was terrified of what was going to happen next. She didn't even understand what was happening at first when he made her kneel down at the edge of the bridge. Suddenly, she couldn't breathe. He was strangling her from behind. She remembers blacking out. She remembered when she regained consciousness, she realized that Matthew didn't know yet that she had woken up. She made a split-second decision. She would hold her breath and play dead. So she kept her eyes closed and held her breath. Then he started kicking her. He thought, if she's still alive, this will wake her up. Randy did her best to keep playing dead, even while getting kicked. But eventually, she couldn't hold it anymore. Matthew kicked her one last time, and she gasped for air, her eyes open. And that's when he realized she was still alive. But, as we've said, it's a lot harder than it looks in the movies. She remembers seeing his frustration, watching him get mad that he couldn't figure out how to do it. She remembers hanging, barely conscious, from the bridge, going in and out as he tried over and over to kill her. What Matthew didn't know was that it had rained a few days before, and the rain had raised the water level of the river quite a bit. But when he finally pushed an unconscious Brandy off the bridge, she hit the water and woke up immediately. But when she came, she realized, he just pushed me off the bridge, and she didn't move. She floated face down in the water, laying dead. She had to pretend she was dead. She floated down the river, not making a sound. She stayed there, holding onto the log, because she didn't want to come out on the other side of the bridge, where Matthew could see her. She could still hear his footsteps above her on the bridge. She could still hear his footsteps above her on the bridge, probably smoking another cigarette, thinking she was dead. She's just under the bridge, holding onto this log for dear life, trying not to make a sound. After what felt like forever, Brandy couldn't hear him anymore. She slowly pulled herself out of the water, moving inch by inch, careful not to make any noise. It was cold, she was freezing. She didn't care. Once she was finally out of the water, she decided to swim across the river to the other side. Because if Matthew was still nearby, she didn't want to run into him. Jerry remembered what Matthew had said about a police station being nearby. Even though it was a lie, he didn't know that yet. So she started following the tracks, hoping to find help. She had to walk past the abandoned train car where she had been assaulted. She was terrified that Matthew was still there. Brandy kept going. She finally made it to a road, and she saw cars passing by, but no one stopped. Finally, a truck pulled over, and the man who stopped just happened to be an off-duty police officer. He drove Brandy straight to the hospital. Not only that, he actually stayed with her the entire time. Brandy later said that she felt so comforted by the fact that he didn't just drop her off, he stayed with her. Once she was safe, Brandy was able to give police a description of her attacker. When the sketch was released, Matthew's own mother saw it and called the police. There was no family loyalty there. Just believing Liz was still alive is what kept her fighting. She later said that she was forced to grow up that night. For years, she struggled with survivor's guilt, wondering, why Liz and not me? When Brandy finally stood in court, she looked directly at Matthew and confronted him, not about what he did to her, but what about he did to Liz. Instead of saying, you beat me, you hurt me, she stood there and said, you killed my best friend, Liz, and you don't know what a beautiful soul you took off this earth. That's what she chose to say to him. She could have let her rage take over, she could have screamed at him for the horrific things he did to her, but instead she made it about Liz, about the friend she lost. Brandy also asked the prosecution not to seek the death penalty. Because of that, Matthew was sentenced to 96 years in prison. According to reports, he will be eligible for parole in 2096, which means he'll die behind bars. Brandy went on to build a beautiful life for him. He got married, and now she loves spending time with her three kids. And in honor of her best friend, she named her firstborn daughter, Emma Elizabeth, after Liz. For a long time, she struggled with the question of why she survived and Liz didn't. But when she became a mom, she finally found the answer. She said, I know why I survived, because I was meant to be here to raise my kids. Brandy has spent years sharing her story because she wants to help others. She said that shortly after the attack, she and her mom was watching TV, and they saw a little girl on a talk show sharing her own survival story. And Brandy realized it was almost identical to what happened to her and Liz. Seeing that girl get through it made Brandy feel less alone. From that moment on, she made a promise to herself. If I ever get the chance to share my story and help someone else, I'm going to do it. And that's why we're resharing her story today. Liz's family has also chosen to share their side of the story in a book called Through My Tears, A Wash of Forgiveness. It's about their decision to forgive Matthew for what he did. So in memory of Liz, and with all of our love and respect to Brandy, we just want to say we're so sorry for what happened that night. We are so grateful that Brandy survived and has been able to turn her pain into something powerful. This case was devastating. I love survival stories, but they're also heartbreaking because someone did survive. And the thing is, Matthew spent so much more time with Brandy than he did with Liz. I don't know if that was because he was under the influence, or if he was just making it up as he went. But he had no prior history of violence, and that was so shocking about this case. He had no violent charges before this. He had been arrested for grand theft and forgery, but nothing violent. Matthew thought he killed both girls. He didn't know Brandy survived. He probably thought he was going to get away with it. Well, I mean, I don't know about that, actually, because he did bring his brother-in-law to the crime scene. Like, what did he think he was going to happen? Did he really think his brother-in-law was just going to keep that secret? Yeah, that makes no sense. So that is our case this week. Thank you so much for watching and listening. You can find us on all major podcast platforms. And until next time, we'll see you later. Thank you so much for watching the True Crime Never Sleeps show. As always, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, everything you give goes right back into this channel. And if you can't give financially, consider just giving us a thumbs up if you like our videos. Hit the subscribe button and bell notification button so you're notified of future videos. And of course, share this video with friends if you like it. So again, thank you so much for watching and tuning in each and every week.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.